A very good evening. Our time in exactly 28 minutes to the hour 8. You're listening to my station, your station, and welcome to Backstage. My name is Patience Musa, and this is the space where we take you behind the curtain to meet the heartbeat of Zimbabwe's creative scene. And today we sit down with a powerhouse in poetry and storytelling, someone who has carried the flame of open expression into a new era. She's an award-winning poet, a performer, and the visionary behind Harare Open Mic, a space that has become a launchpad for fresh voices and a sanctuary for artists to find their wings. And so it's my pleasure to welcome, to converse with us here on Backstage, Batsirai Chigama. Batsi, welcome to Backstage.
Thank you. Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Well, finally, I've got you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while.
It has. But it's good that we're able to have this conversation. If you do have someone you know who's passionate about poetry, please tell them to tune into my station, your station, ZFM Stereo. This is certainly one of those conversations they'll need to have a listen to. And if you have any questions at all, send them through to our WhatsApp, 0772-168-045. Nyasha Tota, already on your phone. Yes, I see you, Nyasha. How are you doing? How's your week so far? I'm good, thanks. So, Batsirai, what first drew you to poetry as your chosen form of expression?
That's a tough question. But I think it was because I grew up in a family of three boys, and I am just the only girl in the family.
Oh, that must have been nice.
Yes, not quite. So I think because I couldn't make friends easily, the page became my friend. So I think that's how I started writing.
So no poets in the family could say kuru vaimbunga midzavanu vachi recite something, nothing at all?
Not that I know of.
Do you remember the very first poem you ever wrote and what inspired it?
It was in 1993. I think there was a call at Singiza High School, that's where I was, for a collection of short stories and poetry about the school. I don't remember the title of the poem, but that was I think they got two of my poems into the collection.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Do you have that collection today?
No.
Or is it something that you're still trying to get your hands on?
I got a copy, but I don't remember where it is now.
You're worse than me. Now, your poetry often blends personal and collective experiences. How do you strike the balance, writing something that you have felt and writing something that you see?
I think we exist in an environment where experience and your personal experience and somebody else's experience can be universal. That if I write about something that happened to you, people might not even know that it didn't happen to me or that it happened to somebody else. So it just depends on the way you put it across. You can personalize someone else's experience and make it yours.
And who are some of the poets, Zimbabwean or international, have influenced your style?
For me, I think I loved the late Julius Chingono. He used to write very short poems, like one liner, two lines, four lines.
But very deep.
Yeah, but very deep. And I don't know if you remember him. He used to perform at the Book Cafe a lot.
I do.
Yeah. And I love the works of Ignatius Mabasa, Memory Chirere, Blessing Musariri, Tari Rondoro. I think now there's a whole new generation of poets that are coming up that are really that I see at the open mic. That are really passionate about what they are doing, and they are getting really good at the platform as well.
If you're just tuning in, our time at exactly 23 minutes to the hour 8. In the studio with me today is Batsirai Chigama. Somebody already sent a message through and said, didn't catch her name, please. So it's good to see that, you know, I have you listening and learning to appreciate poetry. Because most of us learn poetry at school. And when you're learning at school, it's not about you liking it or enjoying it. You have to do it.
True.
So how do you think we need to move from having to just loving it? Is that possible, or is it something that should be natural?
What you're saying is very correct in that in school I hated poetry.
You did?
I hated poetry.
No way.
I'm telling you.
Why though?
Because I think we were forced to study Western literature, and we didn't have, for me, I couldn't relate with most of the stuff. But we have very brilliant writers here in Zimbabwe, in Africa, that we can relate to. That I think, hopefully now, maybe the curriculum has changed. But then when we were going to school, it was Shakespeare. It was, yeah, mostly. And I think in the schools, they need to teach more of the local writers.
I really feel you, because I think even with some of the poetry books that I own, people are talking about maybe seasons that we cannot identify with, and you know, certain buildings, because poetry is so much about emotion, what you're seeing, what you're feeling, and sometimes we can't always relate to that, except if it's love or hurt or pain, and some of the poetry is about that as well. Tadiwa says, "Hi, patients. I myself, I'm a big lover of poetry, and I also used to write poems." Well, we're going to find out how Batsi got started. If you do have any questions or just want to drop us a line or two, the number is 0772-168-045. So what role do you believe poetry plays in society, especially in Zimbabwe today?
I think there's so much going on. I was just thinking to myself today, there is so much going on, so much chaos, so much hurt, so much, going on. And I think poetry is a way for the writer. Maybe it's a cathartic way to deal with stuff, with issues, and if a reader reads something and they can relate to it, then they can know or tell that they are not alone in whatever they're going through. So it's a way to connect.
Is that how you use your poetry, to connect?
Exactly.
So many say, I mean, I've read some of your poems. This is not our first conversation we've had. So I've read quite a few of your poems, and I've had the honor of, you know, being present when you were actually performing some of your poems. Mm-hmm. And your poetry tends to have a strong sense of rhythm and imagery. Can you walk us through your writing process?
That question. I don't have a process. I used to when I started. Like, I would research about something, a subject that I would want to write about. Mm. But these days, I just wait for the poetry to come to me. If it doesn't, then I don't write.
So what do you do when it comes to you? Do you move around with a notebook? Are you that old-fashioned? Or are you grabbing your phone and then quickly putting it down?
I use the notepad mostly on the phone to write the poems.
And when you write, do you think about the reader, or is it just all about you in that moment? What you're hoping the reader will feel? Is there an end game to your poems, that when we read it, we're going to feel some type of way? Or are you simply just expressing yourself and writing what you're feeling and thinking?
I think I'm just really expressing myself, hoping that somewhere someone will connect to what I'm writing.
Now, you spoke earlier on about how your processes have evolved. Has your poetry also evolved and changed over time?
I think it has. I hear people say that. Because I think when I started as a spoken word artist. Now I hardly perform. I am more of a page poet now. Well, the younger voices coming up, we need to leave the stage for them.
But the younger voices learn from hearing the older voices.
I know. But I think I'm concentrating on the page now.
And how is that going? Is that what's the difference between performance and written word?
I would want to say there's not much difference, but when you're performing, it's more like you're performing to an audience that maybe you are on the stage for 2-3 minutes, so you need to connect with them emotionally as much as possible. Whereas on the page, someone can pick up the book, read it, and maybe if they fail to understand, they can then read it again. So I think that's where the difference is.
If you're just tuning in, we are My Station, Your Station, ZFM Stereo. Our time at exactly 17 minutes to the hour 8. My name is Patience Musa. This is Backstage, and our guest this evening is poet Batsi, and Batsi Chigama. And so we're learning more about her processes and her work, and hopefully I see that she has some books with her. I'm hoping that she'll be able to recite or read us one of her favorite poems, and then we'll find out why it's a favorite poem. And so if you do have any questions, send them through to our WhatsApp, 0772 168 045. Now, at first you have had your pieces in a book with other poems as well from other poets, but you're also now publishing your own books. How is that going, and when did that start?
I think around 2016 is when I started thinking, do I want to be 40, 50 something and still be performing? And I realized no, I didn't want to be performing at 40, 50. So I started thinking, how then can I continue connecting with the audience? And I started thinking about writing a book. So I started approaching different publishers, and they said, poetry doesn't sell in Zimbabwe. If you want to get your work out there, you have to do it yourself. So I took the route to self-publishing. The first collection was a tough one because I was learning. It took me quite a while.
What were the challenges that you faced?
The challenges that when you have your poetry, you think, I'm set. I can give someone my book and it can be printed in a week or so. But then when I was going through asking people how to go about it, then you realize you need to get an editor, you need to get a proofreader, you need to get in touch with the printers, you need to get a typesetter,
you need to get it registered.
Yeah, you need to get an ISBN number at the National Archives. So if you're doing it alone, it's a lot of work. And then after you publish the book, you need to get it out there, the marketing bit of it. So it was really tough for me with the first book. And I thought it was going to get better with the second one.
But it
was tough.
And how do you distribute your books?
I am a moving bookshop. That's for one. But I on my second collection, I found a couple of what I call distributors, but they are bookshops. There's Book Fantastics and House of Books at the airport that distribute the book.
Now,
most of the sales, I do them on my own. Yeah.
Wow. But, you know, I've always known you to be reserved and quiet. So how are you managing that? Marketing your own work?
I push on social media. Every event that I go to, I make sure I have the book.
I've seen you, your work also compiled in international books. How is that happening for you? How does that happen?
Well, collections are tricky in that anthologies. they are tricking that you send your work, maybe you get chosen, sometimes you don't even get paid, sometimes you don't even get a copy of the book. So it's just a way of getting your name and your work out there. Yeah, so I try and send as much as I can when I can.
Got another message here coming through from Love Mo Munyoro, listening in from Mount Darwin. And Love Mo says, I'm a book writer. I also love poetry. Seems we have a lot of readers tuned in tonight. And then Tadiwa sent through a poem. It reads like it. The sea that I know is only the sea of emotions. I've experienced waves only in my anger, happiness, and love. I have found no joy in those trickling waters. Tadiwa says, I just wrote that just now. Should a poem have a structure? Should a poem have a structure?
I am not... What I always tell people is that I'm not in academia, so I don't worry about structure. I don't worry about
rhythm. If it happens, it happens.
No, yeah, I don't.
But it's funny, isn't it? I always think about it that when we are studying poets and their poetry and we are studying books, we are thinking these writers actually sitting down and saying, look, I want a rhythm there and I want to throw this there. But then these are things that are just coincidental, right?
For me, yes. But I'm sure there's some who are intentional about it, but I'm not.
Now let's talk about your latest baby, your brand new baby, but we can't really call this baby brand new because this baby is how old now? You said since 2019.
So the first one was 2018, okay. The children, and for women trying to breathe and failing was 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And how are they doing? How are those books doing?
They've been doing well, but you know, books have a shelf life. So Gather the Children is not that, is not selling that fast anymore as compared to For Women. This is the more recent one.
And for those that want to get hold of your books?
They're available at House of Books, available at Book Fantastics and Typocrafters by the Herald House there.
Okay. Mm. And do you know the process of, how the Ministry of Education picks said books? How does that happen? That would be nice, right?
Yeah, that would be nice, but I think they have their processes there. And I think it's something that I've not looked into. I have no idea how they pick their books, but I think they have a process that they go through.
Now, we're going to talk about the Harare Open Mic. Now, we had kind of like a discussion on WhatsApp earlier, and I started reminiscing about Old Book Cafe, mm-hmm. Fife Avenue, how they had the open mic. I think the first open mic was in the evenings, right? It was on Mondays or Tuesdays
That was the Bokapa.
Yes.
Open mic, yeah.
Yeah, and then they realized that a lot of girls and I think a lot of young people and some people just didn't have transport at night. So then they introduced the open mic on a Saturday afternoon. Mm. And then later on it became Sisters Open Mic.
Yeah.
And I was just really thinking about those times and the many people we ran into who are established right now. And and I actually remembered that that's the first time I met Tammy.
Yeah.
Remember, Tammy came through when she was a baby with her mom. Mm-hmm. And crazy times, right? And that's where I also met Chila for the first time through those open session mics. And, of course, that's where Tambaoga also started as well.
That's where a lot of people started.
That's where a lot of people. Even Mike and the comedians. In fact, that's where stand-up comedy
really
was born.
Yes.
I think a lot of people don't know this, but that's where it started, Book Cafe, open mic. Mm. So now you have started something with the open mic. When did the Harare open mic start?
I started in 2019. After the Book Cafe closed, there was no longer a space for young artists to meet. and perform. So I was just thinking to myself, what can I do? You know, but you know how it is when you've got work and other things. And then I did two in 2019, which were very successful. And then COVID hit. And then I kind of
hard timing, right?
The steam. And then I picked up in 2021, I think. Yeah. And I've been hosting roughly 2 to 3 editions per year. Yeah, so there's a lot of poets, musicians, dancers, theater makers, storytellers who come through to be part of the open mic.
Now, there are a lot of people listening right now who've ever really seen anything to do with the open mics, maybe some scene in a movie. How would you describe the energy of a typical Harare open mic session to someone who's never, ever been?
Describe it as laid back, you know, like it's an open mic, so people are just free to register, come through and perform. So what we say at Harare open mic is whatever your magic, bring it on. So you get some of these performers who are coming for the first time and have no idea of how to use the mic, and then you've got some who've been coming for a while who now know how to, you know, how to work the stage. So it's a laid-back space where one can just come and experiment with whatever they are gifted or talented in.
Well, that sounds like something that we can certainly make a plan for. Does it have a family, you know, setting to it? So it's safe to bring kids and the entire family just hang out?
I would say it's a very safe space. So we've got parents who bring in their kids, even parents who bring in some of the performers because they're still young as well. So they bring them, they come with them and be part of the open mic as well.
It certainly sounds like, you know, the old book cafe vibe. I think what Harare is missing most of all is events like this that don't have a superficial vibe. That keeps me at home because I don't... it just emotionally drains me to be in some of these spaces. So what challenges did you face and are you facing in setting it up? You're saying you have it only so... a few times in the year. What are the challenges you're facing? Why is it not maybe even every month or every fortnight or every weekend even?
Sure, every... I think I don't have the energy for weekly or monthly events because planning an open mic, as much as people may think it's easy, it's not easy in that you want it to be special.
You want it to be a success,
especially
as well
for the performers, mm-hmm. And you want to be constantly in touch with them. And so, I had limited it to like quarterly, you know. So we have 4 events, right, per year. But I discovered no, I don't have the energy. But I want it to happen more often, but I just don't have the energy.
So honest. When is the next one?
The next one is November. Coming up in November, the last one was this September.
And how are all the emerging artists looking? What's the future of Zimbabwean arts looking like watching open mic?
I feel, do you know when the book cafe closed, I was saying there was no more space for me, because I was used to, you know, going to an open mic and seeing, you know, what
familiar faces,
familiar faces and what the young artists are doing. So when I started, I was amazed at how much talent we have, and I think it's just a matter of there's so many artists out there, young artists out there that may not have the kind of space that is like Harare open mic for them to just come and experiment and, you know, network with other young artists and maybe learn something
and even make mistakes with no judgment.
Mm. Yeah, so I think such spaces are needed, and they're critical in the development of the young artist.
And what's your vision for Harare Open Mic, say, in the next 5 years? Please, I don't, the expression on your face, but see, I don't want to see that. It's, I'm so happy. No one else did. And I think Tatenda here, who has the camera, failed to capture it. Because you, the look on your face is like, 5 years. It's really patience, 5 years. I can't do this for another 5 years. So what is the future?
I think is, for me, it's recreating what the Bukavu used to do. Like, these artists didn't just get a space to perform, but they would also get training. There were workshops, there were festival tours. Like, they would go around Zimbabwe to some of the festivals in Zimbabwe, and even local ones here in Harare are facilitated by the Bukavu. So I think that is what I would want to see in the next 5 years.
And the future of Batsi's poetry?
I don't know. I don't know about
we'll go
poetry.
Where the wind blows us.
Yeah. I don't know. But
are you working on a new book?
I'm working on a play. That is
nice.
This month, being produced by Almasi Collaborative Arts. That's my first play. It's been a lot of hard work, and I hope we'll get to see some of you, and even you come through to that.
So, from poetry to playwright.
Yes.
Why that transition? How that transition?
It's. I wanted to experiment. I wanted to try something new, something different, and see how far I could stretch myself. But yeah, plays are a lot of work.
No, because you're used to just a few lines or a few paragraphs, and now you have to actually write chapters.
It's a challenge. I think that I said, let me try this and see where it takes me. So here I am, with this first play coming up this, we are in what? September, October. Yeah, that's when it will be staged.
I have to ask this question. How long is this play?
How long is it?
Because I know plays. Patience. Plays can be 3 pages only.
Patience with no patience. Just above an hour, I think.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pages.
No, not a lot.
Unless if it's one of
just
those
enough,
plays, like
pages.
there's this play called Waiting for Godot, or is it Godot or something? However, people pronounce it, Waiting for Godot. I don't know if you've read it. Where, you know, they're just at the whole play, the whole book. It's just at this one tree.
How did you find that one?
I found it pleasantly surprising. But I think that would be the kind of play that you would write. But we will wait and see. Our time is exactly 8 o'clock, but it's been lovely. And you didn't get to recite one of your plays. One of your poems.
One of my poems.
Can we quickly do that before you go?
No spilled milk here. It is not my fault that you were hard to love. I, a woman whose heart is the depth of Chinoy caves, with arms the length of sky. You just didn't know what to do with me. End.
The end. Thank you very much, Patsy, for coming. And we look forward to being at the next Harare Open Mic. Apologies. A lot of dry air in here. But thank you so much. I'm hoping that you enjoy that. And for those that want to be poets, what's your advice?
I would say just go for it. That's what I would say.
Our time is exactly 2 minutes after 8. There'll be more backstage next week, same time, right here on ZFM Stereo. Batsi, if you could give us your social media handles.
Batsire Chigama. On FB, Insta, TikTok, X.
You don't change, Batsi.
LinkedIn.
I promise you, this is the way she's always been. Calm, collected, and very few words. But I'm glad we had this conversation. My name is Patience Musa. Join me next week, same time, right here on ZFM Stereo. There's more to look forward to here on ZFM Stereo, so don't go anywhere.